Good morning, everyone. Story County Board of County Commissioners meeting will now come to order. We're going to go ahead and the routine will be as usual here. We'll go through the same process as we do if everyone was here in this room with me. We're going to go ahead and if you'll stand and join me in the Pledge of Allegiance, we'll get started.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America, and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
So all of you joining us today, please have your microphones on mute, and that way it'll keep from having any feedback or talk over, things like that. When it does come your time to speak, please state your name for the record, because some of you are on the phone and some we wouldn't know who you were unless you identify yourself. Speak clearly and loudly so that the audio will pick you up. When it does come to the time of public comment, please go ahead and limit your comments to 3 minutes. We're going to do it the same way as we're doing virtual here, as if it was a live meeting here in the courtroom. Okay, so let's start off. I'll go to County Manager Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For your discussion and possible approval of the agenda for May 19th, 2020, we asked to move items number 7 and number 8. Those are respectively staff reports and board reports, to after number 26.
All right. Thank you, Austin.
No other changes. Thank you.
Okay. Is there any public comment regarding today's agenda? And you'll notice that I'm going to pause often because sometimes it takes a while for everything to go across the wires and get back to me. So once again, Austin, is there any public comment regarding today's agendized items? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, can I get a motion to approve?
Yes, Chairman. Make a motion to approve the agenda for May 19th, 2020 with the noted modifications.
Thank you. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Yeah, second.
Thank you. It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 5, this is discussion for possible action, approval of the meeting minutes for April the 9th, 2020. Once again, is there any public comment regarding those minutes? Hearing none, if I could get Commissioner Carmona to motion to approve.
I move to approve the minutes for April 9th, 2020.
Second your motion.
It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along to item number 6. This is today's consent agenda. Is there any public comment regarding today's consent agenda? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, can I have a motion, please?
I move to approve today's consent agenda.
No second.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Item 7 and 8 have been continued till after item number 26. So this will move us into item number 9. This is discussion for possible action, approval of modification and extension of the 2017-2020 collective bargaining agreement between Story County, which is the employer, and the Story County Sheriff's Office Employees Association, Nevada Association of Police and Sheriff's Officers, NAPSO. Mr. Osborne. Need you to go ahead and unmute your microphone, Austin.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Austin Osborne for the record. Story County, our team, including myself, Jennifer McCain, Jeannie Green and Jim Chapman and Sheriff Antonoro have been bargaining with the Sheriff's Office Employees Association Union since February, and to renew the existing contract we have with them. Prior year that exists currently is 3 years. And so we have come to a tentative agreement, and that tentative agreement, of course, is subject to approval by both county commissioners as well as the union board. So our tentative agreement we have in front of you is a 3-year contract. It would have a 5% increase once. So for the first year, it goes up 5%. And after that point, it stays in effect for the remainder of the 3 years. There are some elements built into the salaries that are being proposed in the chart, the salary chart, that account for deputies in the past that need to be adjusted downward or frozen because of the manner they were hired. And there is also provisions in the chart that deal with what, if we remember in the past, a lot of auxiliary or extra calculated COLAs that go back about a decade or longer, that we are trying to incorporate into a chart that the employees understand, that staff can easily navigate, that the comptroller's office can handle through the accounting and having normal accounting procedures, and just as importantly, that the public understands who's getting what and that there's no hidden costs through these COLAs. There are no changes to the health benefits plan so far as for the rest of the employees hire on or after 2014. Those folks after that point, the family plans, they may join our insurance, but it has to be paid for by the employees. There is a element in there, $1,000 for post-fitness training. If a deputy passes a post-fitness exam held on by the state, that they would get an incentive for that. There is some provisions in there that new hires are not just issued uniforms. Instead, they're issued a uniform allowance. They use that money to go buy their uniform. If they do not pass their probationary period for any reason, then the county then will rake that money back instead of the employee either taking the uniform with them or having wasted uniforms. There are some elements in there with catastrophic leave, for example, that would apply to an immediate family member at first degree, such as a son or daughter. And there's some other elements in there that are easily understandable through reading. I would ask if anybody on our team would like to discuss anything else. And also, Jennifer, if you'd just like to point to fiscal analyses that you've done, as well as Jen has also done some comp studies and those sorts of things to support the agreement we have in front of us. Thank you.
Thank you, Austin. Ms. McCain, did you have anything to add to that?
Sorry, trying to unmute, takes a minute. I just wanted to point out that the fiscal change for the first year of this contract is about 3.8%. And other than the initial movement on the chart by each employee, it will be an ordinary merit increase. So we really won't see any other increase as time goes on for the life of this contract.
Very good. Thank you, Ms. McCain. Do my fellow commissioners have any questions for either Austin or Jennifer? Commissioner Carmona?
Nothing. Thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Gelman?
No question.
Thank you, gentlemen. Open it up. Is there any public
comment? Mr. Chairman, before you vote?
I was going to ask for some public comment here, Austin.
Oh, go ahead.
Okay. Is there any public comment from the audience on this collective bargaining agreement? Okay, Mr. Osborne, did you have a question?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Just for clarification, the comparables that we use in bargaining this contract, I may miss a county, but I don't think so, Elko, Churchill, Humboldt, Douglas, Carson City, and Lyon counties were used as comparable counties. Thank you.
Very good. Great. Thank you. Okay, once again, I'll open it up and see if there's any public comment from the audience. Hearing none, if I can get a motion, Commissioner Carmona, to approve this.
Yes, Chairman. In accordance with the recommendation by staff and the tentative agreement between Story County and the Story County Sheriff's Office, Employees Association, Nevada Association of Police and Sheriff's Officers. I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the successor 2020 to 2023 collective bargaining agreement between the parties.
I'll second.
All right. I have a motion and a second to approve this modification and extension of the collective bargaining agreement. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. Next up, we're going to have several resolutions all regarding funding for all of Story County's, not all of Story County's, but a lot of Story County's nonprofit organizations. And this is something that has been going on for many years. And so we're going to start off with item number 10. This is discussion for possible action. This is regarding resolution number 20-570, granting the historic Fourth Ward School Museum, a nonprofit entity, the sum not to exceed $120,000 for the purpose of preserving the historic Fourth Ward School Museum, a county-owned building, and for the purpose of preserving the Fourth Ward School building and for promoting the history of the Comstock and Story County. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you. I believe that Deputy District Attorney Keith Loomis may want to speak to this. He prepared the item. Thank you.
Very good. Mr. Loomis?
Yes, Mr. Chairman. Actually, this was prepared by Laura Mather. I did prepare the forms for these resolutions. The amounts of the money actually were communicated to Ms. Mather, and I'd ask her if she has anything she wants to comment about it.
Okay, and while we have you on there, perhaps Mr. Loomis, you could explain why we do individual resolutions on each of these nonprofits now. I think in years past, we used to just all commingle this under community relations, but we've, in recent history, we've itemized these items.
That's great, Mr. Chairman. In fact, it was about 2 years ago we actually started the process of utilizing resolutions to approve these sums, and that's because of a requirement under NRS 2449, what we call the RESPA, but it's a NRS requirement that these be approved by resolutions, and that's why the form is created. Actually, this is one of the things that previous District Attorney Bill Maddox had intended to get accomplished, but wasn't accomplished during his term, and so we have now started that process and have done that for the last 2 years.
Very good. Thanks, Keith. Yeah, and what it just does too is it cleans up the our budget items, and it gives more transparency also. So yeah, I appreciate all the work that goes into this. So I'll call on Ms. Mather now, if you can go ahead and speak to this, please.
Good morning. For the record, Laura Mather, Community Relations Coordinator. I don't necessarily have anything to add, but I'm happy to answer any questions that anybody has. Each organization sends me a letter that justifies the amounts that they request, how they're going to be used, those sort of things. So I'm happy to answer any questions of any of the items if anybody has any questions.
All right, great. Thanks, Laura. Okay. Fellow commissioners, Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions?
I do not, Chairman.
Very good. Thank you, Jay. Commissioner Gilman?
I'm just curious. I don't have the numbers.
For the Fourth Ward School, it's the same amount. There's no increase in the ask.
And Ms. Mather, as we go forward, maybe you could be prepared to go ahead and give any adjustments on each of these items.
Yes, certainly.
Very good. All right, I'll open up. There's a public comment regarding this resolution. Hearing none, if I get a motion to approve.
Hi, Jay Carmona. Move to approve resolution 20-570, granting the historic Fourth Ward School Museum a sum not to exceed $120,000 for the purpose of preserving the historic Fourth Ward School Museum, a county-owned building, and supporting history.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
I'll second, Mr. Chairman.
All right. It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Lance, I didn't hear you.
I went and just missed it. Aye.
Thank you. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 11. This is discussion for possible action. This is regarding resolution 20-571, granting the Community Chest Incorporated the sum of $259,500 for specific purpose of funding health and human services programs. So, Ms. Mather?
For this request, it's an increase of $15,000. We all know what an amazing job the Community Chest does, and the fact that they can do what they do with that slight of an increase really speaks for their due diligence.
Very good. Thanks, Laura. And I see that the director, Mr. Schoen, is in the room. So would you like to have anything to say about this, Eric?
Yeah, just a reminder, it's really three separate budgets. It's our community health nurse budget, which pays for the Nevada Health Centers to provide the medical clinic facility and also for telehealth. That budget actually remained the same. I asked if they could keep that at the same level, and they agreed that they could. The second budget as part of this grand total is the library budget, which was increased from 50 to 55. At least that was a request. And then the last component of this is the bulk, which is the community center and other support for the rest of the services that we do. And we asked for an increase from 130 to 140 for that third budget. And that's how you get to the grand total of whatever it was we just read off, $259,500.
Okay, great. Thanks, Eric. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions?
I do not, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman?
Just a comment for Eric. I want to reach out and thank him so very much during this COVID-19 pandemic. They have been so active at our community chest and in all neighborhoods. And they're to be commended. And to be able to keep their budget within $15,000, that's commendable as well. Good fiscal planning. And thanks, Eric.
Thank you, Commissioner Gilman. At this time, I'll open it up for public comment. Is there public comment regarding this resolution? Okay, hearing none. Before I call for the vote on this, I too want to compliment and commend Eric and his team at Community Chest. When we look at a number of $259,500, it sounds like a lot of money, because it is a lot of money. But when I first was elected and I was briefed on how it works down there, Story County gets a lot of bang for its buck. If we had to go ahead and provide all of the services in the county that Community Services does for us, we wouldn't be able to do it for this amount of money. I'd like to remind those who are attending the meeting today that during the recession, when Story County came onto some hard times, they had to close the county library, and the library alone cost the county over $100,000 a year. And so with the help of Community Chest, you know, able to revitalize it, and I think as Eric pointed out, we're doing it for about 50 cents on the dollars it cost before. So if you compare that to the other services that they provide, it would... If we wanted to do away with Community Chest and provide those services in-house, it's going to cost us twice as much money as it's costing us at this level. So anyway, back to Eric. Thank you, and thank your staff for all you do down there. And with that said, if I could get Commissioner Carmona to go ahead and entertain a motion to approve this resolution.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve resolution 20-57. Can't see the last number.
One. It's 571.
571, granting the Story County Senior Center, Citizens Center, the sum of $259,000.
Let me interrupt you. We're going to go back to the Community Chest. We're on item 11. That's not the Senior Center, that's Community Chest.
It actually says Senior Center.
Does it? Do we have a typo?
Normally, Jay, I think if you went ahead and read the title of the agenda language and just put I, Commissioner Carmona, I think you'll be okay. There seems to be an issue with the recommended motion.
Okay. Resolution number is the same, 0571.
I'm going to say yes.
Yes.
I'm looking at Keith, but let me look at the actual enclosure and I'll answer the question. If we just correct. It, yes, it's 2571.
Hi, Jay.
That's the board.
What was that, Keith?
Go ahead. All right.
All right.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve resolution 20-571, granting the community chest the sum of $259,500 for the specific purpose of funding health and human services programs.
Very good. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Gilman, do you have your microphone on?
I do. Aye.
Thank you. All right. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 12. This is discussion for possible action regarding resolution number 20-572, granting the St. Mary's Arts Center, a nonprofit entity, a sum not to exceed $100,000 for the purpose of preserving St. Mary's Arts Center, a county-owned building, and supporting arts and culture through education and cultural offerings. Ms. Mather?
This is an increase of request of $20,000 from $80,000 to $100,000. The funds will be used directly on the building itself. They're having some substantial plumbing issues, structural issues, and that kind of stuff. So they have submitted a request for a grant through SHPO, the CCCHP grant. That, as you can imagine, with the current economy of the state, probably would be in question. But that request of the additional $20,000 will go directly to improvements on the building.
Thank you. Is Ms. Perry in the audience today? Would she like to speak on this? Perhaps she's not here. Okay. Well, Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions regarding this resolution?
No, I do not, Chairman.
Thank you. Commissioner Gilman?
No question.
Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this resolution? Okay. Once again, the St. Mary's Arts Center, it's a terrific nonprofit down there. We have, you know, traveling artists from all over the world that come through there. They do a terrific job of maintaining that building. You know, it's an old building. It takes a lot of work, and I'm glad that they've asked for an increase in their budget to go ahead and do the work that's necessary down there. Last year they worked on the balcony. Now they've got other issues, so it's ongoing, and it's a terrific building in Virginia City. So. With that said, if I could ask Commissioner Carmona to entertain a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve resolution 20-572, granting the St. Mary's Arts Center a sum not to exceed $100,000 for the purpose of preserving the St. Mary's Arts Center, a county-owned building, and supporting arts and culture through the education and cultural offerings.
Very good. I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 13. This is discussion for possible action regarding resolution number 20-573, granting the Story County Senior Citizen Center the sum of $386,240 for the purpose to maintain the Story County Senior Center and for providing programs and services to seniors to promote independent and healthy lifestyles. Ms. Mather?
This is an increase of a little over $106,000, but I do want to point out that this is both for the Senior Center in Virginia City and the Senior Center in Lockwood. As you can imagine, their requests for service and costs have increased dramatically through this event. So it's obviously, they're doing an amazing job as well, and obviously a very important service that they provide.
Okay. Thank you. Thank you, Laura. Is Ms. York on? Is Ms. York in the audience?
Yes, I am here.
Did you want to speak to this, Stacy?
I just want to thank you guys for the increase in funds. Our numbers have increased substantially in both locations, over 250% here in Virginia City and 100% in Rockwood. So thank you again.
Good. Thank you, Stacy. All right. Yeah, who's that? Oh, yeah. Commissioner Gilman, go right ahead.
Yeah, I'm just curious, Stacy. She mentioned Virginia City and Lockwood. I assume we also have coverage in that for the Mark Twain program. And I'm also assuming that that budget has some element of the coronavirus in it, in that we are doing a lot more services there. So, Stacy, could you kind of embellish that a little bit for me?
Yes. Stacy York, for the record. Virginia City services the Virginia City Highlands, Virginia City, Gold Hill, and Mark Twain. And yes, the coronavirus funding, everything has increased. That's why we need the increase in the budget.
Very good. Thank you, Stacy. Any other questions, Commissioner Gilman?
No, thank you very much for that.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions on that?
I do not.
Yeah. I mean, we're in unprecedented times right now where they're providing more services at our senior centers than have ever been anticipated or utilized in the past. So they're doing a terrific job down there too. Our hats go off to you. We get a lot of compliments and comments on how well you're doing at both Lockwood and Virginia City and down in Mark Twain. So thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this resolution? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if I can get a motion to approve.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, move to approve Resolution 20-573, granting the Story County Senior Citizen Center the sum of $386,240 for the purpose of maintaining the Story County Senior Center and for providing programs and services to seniors to promote independent and healthy lifestyles.
Second your motion. It's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Bringing us up to item number 14, discussion for possible action. Okay. We need everybody to go ahead and mute their microphones out there. Okay. Thank you. So item 14, discussion for possible action regarding resolution number 20-574, granting the Mark Twain Community Center a sum not to exceed $25,000 for the purpose of preserving the Mark Twain Community Center and for community outreach and improvement. Ms. Mather?
So this, there's no increase on this amount that the Mark Twain Community Center is requesting, but I do know that Stacy York works closely with them. Stacy, if you can correct me if I'm wrong, that you also work to provide them food for their food pantry.
Yes, Stacy York, for the record. Yeah, we are providing food for their food pantry as well.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions?
I don't. I just want to thank them for what they're doing. All, you know, they've been doing a great job during all this.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions, comments?
No questions, but I appreciate this. We actually started this $25,000 funding and budget last year. And it was very helpful, especially with the COVID going on. And thank you so much for re-upping on this $25,000.
Okay. All right. And with that, we'll open it up. Is there any public comment regarding this resolution? All right. And hearing none, if I can go ahead and get a motion to approve, Commissioner Carmona.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve Resolution 20-574, granting the Mark Twain Community Center a sum not to exceed $25,000 for the purpose of preserving the Mark Twain Community Center and for community outreach and improvement.
I'll second your motion.
All right. Moving to second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Gilman, did I get an aye out of you?
Yes, aye.
Thank you. This motion passes unanimously. Moving along now to item number 15, discussion for possible action regarding resolution number 20-575, granting Liberty Engine Company number 1 Incorporated a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of preserving the Comstock Firemen's Museum and its historic contents. Ms. Mather.
No increase on this request.
Very good. Is Mr. Curtis in the room? Joe Curtis?
I am here.
Did you want to speak to this item, Mr. Curtis?
I think we got it. Okay. We have to play moving speakers in the bar at night. Could you restate your question, please, Mr. Chairman?
Did you want to speak to the budget item for Liberty Engine Company number 1?
Yeah, thank you. Most people may not know, but the Comstock Firemen's Museum was opened in 1979 and has been maintained throughout those years by the Volunteer Fire Department. And members of the founding group are still the members of the founding member board. Those dollars go directly to the maintenance of the structure, which is a county-owned structure and served as a fire station from roughly 1931 to about 1961. And so we've done a lot of things to make the building much more effective and stronger. Our goal has been for many years to try to raise enough money eventually that we could add on to the structure, because we also have the property that's immediately next door to the north where the shoot 'em up program is. So we have always been looking to move forward to do that at some point in time. But we thank you very much for the consideration of helping us to maintain that structure, which is a historic structure in the community. Thank you.
Thanks, Joe. And before you go, if I'm not mistaken, I think that the Fireman's Museum was the first building in Virginia City to have a fire sprinkler system installed. Is that right?
Yes, I believe that's correct. I forgot about that. We did that, Mike Nevin and you and I and several others. We got that accomplished. Golly, that's going to be in the 80s sometimes, I think, around 83 or so. Last year we upgraded that fire sprinkler system because it had some outdated equipment on it. And that the dollars that the county provided went to accomplishing that.
Yeah. Okay. Very good. Thank you, Joe. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions?
I don't.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
Is the improvement and expansion on that building, has that been included in our new CIP that we've been portrayed?
No, I don't believe that it was included on expanding into the building. I think I mentioned it at some point in time, but I don't think it's listed on the capital improvements list.
I'm thinking that we might undertake to look at that. That's a good use for that formula.
Yes, you know, we have quite a bit of equipment in storage that is historical equipment that we would one day like to be able to put in there. We have four motorized apparatus, including the first modern ambulance, 1959 International, and other 1939, 1940 fire truck, and some other pieces of equipment that we've always thought we'd like to be able to put into the displays.
Yeah, I see this as being a good item for our improvement program.
Thank you, sir. Appreciate it.
All right. I'll open it up for public comment.
I would just like to say, as the former director of the Historic Fourth Ward School Museum, I also want to thank the commissioners and the county for supporting these historic buildings. The obvious is they are very old. St. Mary's and the Fourth Ward are enormous buildings. It takes a tremendous amount of work and funds to keep these buildings up, but also to restore them to their former glory. So from me, thank you very much.
Thank you, Ms. Mather. Once again, I'll continue on with public comment on this resolution. Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve resolution number 20-575, granting the Liberty Engine Company number one, incorporating a sum not to exceed $10,000 for the purpose of preserving the Comstock Fireman's Museum and its historic contents.
I'll second your motion.
I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Coming along now to item number 16. This is discussion for possible action regarding resolution number 20-576, granting the Story County Jeep Posse the sum of $10,000 for the purpose of renovating the historic Ice House on Toll Road in Virginia City, Nevada, for the providing assistance to sick and injured persons in the community in need of such financial assistance. So, Ms. Mathew.
I'll handle this one, Mr. Chairman. I prepared the resolution on this. There is no increase. This is
Mr. Loomis, before you continue, I believe one commissioner has a statement he wants to make.
Chairman, I was informed yesterday that my daughter received a scholarship from the G Posse, and so I'm going to have to recuse myself from this.
All right. Thank you, Commissioner Carmona. Mr. Loomis, if you'd like to continue.
Yeah, this is the sum has not changed from what has traditionally been granted to the G Posse. And they are using that, as I've been advised, for the purposes of renovating the Ice House, and they also provide some social services to members in the community that request that type of aid, including providing scholarships for some of the students coming out of the schools.
Right. Thank you, Keith. Yes. And in addition to that, this is also another county-owned building, as well as the others that we're contributing to. So. So in any
Mr.
event,
Chairman?
Who's that? Austin?
Mr. Chairman, when you're ready.
Yeah, hold on a second here. Yeah, so give me a second here. So we're talking over each other there. Yeah, so this building that sits up on the divide, it's called the Ice House because it's next to the reservoir on the divide, and that's where they used to cut ice out of the reservoir in the early days before we had any type of refrigeration. And so that was part of the water company up there where they manufactured ice for mostly the businesses in Virginia City. But the ice only lasted usually until about spring. They would store it under the sidewalks. They would put a layer of ice, then a layer of sawdust, and a layer of ice. And so the bars and restaurants had ice in the winter and in the spring, but by the time late spring came, all the ice had melted. But this is a county-owned property, and the Jeep Posse has been there for a long time. I think they've been in that location over 50 years. I remember as a teenager, my dad had helped me. We had some old wagon wheels, and so the wagon wheels you see hanging from the ceiling in there that have been electrified are a donation my dad gave them about 50 years ago. So they've had possession of that building for a long time. They've done a lot of improvements there on the building, the barbecue area, the trap range, and all of that. And of course, the parking lot's about 10 times bigger than it was when they took over. But anyway, this is another one of our nonprofits here that we try to help out. So, with that said, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I was just asked to relay a few things that they're working on. It's reportedly that they, this year there was a walk-in refrigerator on the door replacement that needed to be done. It's a major thing. It isn't just like a normal residential refrigerator. They've also been saving money and will use part of this money for drainage improvements that are needed. Right behind them is the divide reservoir, and there is water coming into the building through a wall. We don't know if it's coming from the reservoir, but probably from area drainage. So they're looking at doing a French drain system that probably is going to run 10, 20, or 30,000. They've been using this money. They have planned for that. Some of the money from the previous year, it's reported that they have saved for that project. In addition to some of the scholarships, it was reported $2,500 went for a student to go to Washington, D.C. This year for a project.
$1,000 and another $1,000 reportedly to other students for general scholarships. That's
okay.
All I have.
Great. Great. Thanks. Thanks, Austin. Are there any members from the G Posse in the audience? Is Casey here? No? Okay. I'll go ahead and open up public comment.
Hi, Marshall. It's Nicole Bard, Highlands Resident.
Good morning. Go ahead, Nicole.
Okay, I'm on my phone, so I don't know if you can hear me.
I can hear you.
Austin, what you just read off as far as what the posse is doing isn't included in the packet. Is it possible for me to get access to their audited financials from last year to find out what they did with the money last year? Because all of the other organizations that the county gives money to have financials, they're publicly available, and they have audits.
Okay, we were losing you there, Nicole. I don't know if you're moving away from your base station there, but you were becoming inaudible there, so try
okay,
again.
My question, can you hear me now?
Yes.
My question is, can the public have access to the G Posse's financials, and in particular their audited financials? Every other organization the county gives money to has publicly available financials, I believe, because the money they're getting is public. And the posse, what Austin read off, isn't in the packet, so the public doesn't know what they do with that money.
If you can have access to their financials, I guess, Nicole, I'd have to suggest that you ask the G Posse if you can have access to their financials. I've never seen a financial from the G Posse, so I don't know if they've I don't know if they've ever submitted one to the county.
So the county doesn't ask for financials or accountability from the organizations that they give our tax dollars to?
Austin, do you want to?
That's all I'm asking.
Yeah, well.
Mr. Chairman, I believe you called on me. I'm not going to defer this to Mr. Loomis. I do believe there's some legalities to this question that's been brought up before. Before I respond to anything, Mr. Loomis, would you like to chime in on any legalities to that question?
Well, what the county has done is established that the G Posse is a recognized nonprofit organization. We have not, to my knowledge, we've never asked for an audited statement from the G Posse as to what they did with the money. So, and I don't know of any requirement in the statutes that says they have to provide that. I mean, it's certainly something that could be requested if the county wants to do that.
And Mr. Chairman, I'd be happy to reach out to the G Posse folks and ask if they'd like to provide some type of information regarding the projects they have planned for the facility.
Okay. Very good. Thank you. Is there any additional public comment? Hearing none, Commissioner Carmona, if I get a motion to approve. Oh, I can't. Excuse me. Commissioner Gilman, can I get you to go ahead and entertain a motion to approve?
I'll move to approve resolution number 20-576, granting the Story County Chief Posse the sum of $10,000 for the purpose of renovating the historic ice house on Toll Road in Virginia City, Nevada, and for providing assistance to the second injured folks in the community in need of such financial assistance.
Very good. I'll second your motion. It's been moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Thank you. Moving along now to item number 17. This is discussion for possible action. Consideration and possible approval of bill number 120, ordinance 20-309, providing for whistleblower protection as required by AB 274 of the 2019 legislative session.
Mr. Chairman, it used to be prior to the last legislative session that the statute provided that the county could provide for whistleblower protection if the county chose to do so. In the last legislative session, the legislature provided that the county shall provide protection to whistleblowers at least equal to the protection provided to state employees if they provide whistleblower information. So that is what this proposed ordinance does, is it provides the protection for any county employees or officials who provide whistleblower information, that they all have the same protection as do state employees and officials. Now, one of the things that I put in here is a provision for a hearing officer, which is provided in the NRS. And so this essentially provides that they have the same protections, and that if there's going to be a contested case over whether or not there's been retaliation against a whistleblower, that there will be a hearing officer that will hear that and make a decision.
Very good. Thank you, Keith. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions?
I do not, thank you.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
No questions.
All right. With this, I'll go ahead and open up for public comment. We have public comment from the audience. Hearing none, if I could get Commissioner Carmona to entertain a motion to approve.
Before we do that, I'd like to read the title of the proposed ordinance. This is the first reading of the ordinance. And so the current provides an ordinance enacting procedures to provide protection to officers and employees of Story County against reprisals and retaliation for the disclosure of improper governmental action, providing other matters properly relating thereto. Thank you.
Very good. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. All right. Once again, I'll go back to Commissioner Carmona for a motion.
I, Jay Carmona, move to approve the first reading of Bill Number 120, Ordinance 20-309, establishing greater whistleblower protections.
Very good. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Moving along now to item number 18. This is discussion for possible action. Enter into interlocal agreement between Story County and the Story County School District for the use and maintenance of Miners Park baseball field. Amendment at water meter at Virginia City High School and termination of existing land plot lease of agreement between the parties for the use and maintenance of Miners Park baseball field. So, Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Currently, the school district has a lease agreement with the county to operate and utilize Miners Park baseball field, and they use it for PE, extracurricular activities, etc. The school district has reached out to us to have a discussion on how to make this agreement a little bit better and to allow the school district more to focus on education and their other needs, as opposed to maintaining the park, but also providing reciprocal benefit to the county. So the lease agreement that we have, or the interlocal agreement that replaced the lease agreement in front of us, will really, in essence, do these things. The Story County School District will install security camera systems throughout Miners Park, the swimming pool area, and the baseball field. The state-of-the-art type of cameras that will monitor that system, and both the school district and the county will have access to those cameras for security purposes. In return, the county will take over maintenance of the adjacent baseball field. We already have the staff and the equipment and the expertise managing Miners Park, but instead of stopping the lawnmower at the baseball field, our folks will continue on to maintain that baseball field as if they do the adjacent park. We will also take over the irrigation of the park. We believe that that will actually result in the savings, as we have a person that's dedicated to our parks that watches those things. That's his job, as opposed to having the school district have to do it remotely. We will merge the park with the baseball field with Miners Park by contract and all of these agreements, but the grounds will stay essentially the same. The Story County School District will have first right of refusal of the baseball field for up to 24 months ahead of time. That way they can plan for their sports activities and all of their PE and other types of their operations. The boosters of the local area will have first right of refusal with the school district for use of the snack shack, so those folks will not be impacted by this agreement. There will be an electronic scheduling system where the school district can go in and they can schedule out their events throughout the park, kind of like a shared calendar. And then the county then will know what days that those that the school district has a facility booked, so when the public wants to be able to use the park, whether it's, you know, local clubs or organizations, then we can see those days and then schedule those folks around the school district's needs. This will be out 24 months ahead of time. And really, once again, the purpose of this is allow the school district to provide us services and allow them to focus on education and not maintenance of the park. There will be another element where there is a water meter down at the high school. There's many water meters at the high school. They all make sense, except for one is a commercial meter that's serving a couple outdoor drip systems for trees. We believe that that meter could be removed and then have that system tied into the main building and be metered there. That would be an adjustment we would make or something equivalent. That's all, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Great. Thank you, Austin. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions regarding this item?
I don't, Chairman.
Great. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding this item?
No questions.
Okay. How about we open up for public comment? Nobody out there? I think this is a great idea of having a shared calendar on there for people who want to go ahead and utilize it, especially the park for doing, you know, family barbecues and things like that. So it's a great idea. The, it should be mentioned also that the school district has done immense improvements to that park over the years, that they've, not the park area, but the baseball field area. When I was in high school, there was a backstop, and that's all there was. There was no grass. It was all dirt. So no dugouts, no pitching mound, no nothing. So we've come a long ways, and the school district's done a fabulous job in bringing it to the to where it's at now. It's going to be, this will be a good relationship between the school district and the county. So, all right. That said, Commissioner Carmona, can we get a motion to approve?
In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the interlocal agreement between Story County and the Story County School District for use and maintenance of Miners Park baseball field, amendment to water meter at Virginia City High School, and termination of existing land plot lease agreement between the parties for use and maintenance of Miners Park baseball field.
Very good. I have a motion. Commissioner Gilman, do I get a second?
Aye.
Moved and second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Commissioner Gilman, did I get an aye out of you?
Yes.
Very good. Thank you. Motion passes unanimously. Moving along now to item number 19, discussion for possible action. Amendments to interlocal agreement between Story County and the Nevada Commission for the reconstruction of the V&T Railway regarding fund creation and management, budgeting, accounting, processing, and related staffing practices and responsibilities to manage funds of the railway by Story County and other properly related matters. Mr. Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. I'd also like to note that a few folks, Denny Dotson, Tourism Director, and Vanessa Stevens, and Jen Chapman, both in the Clerk's Office and the Comptroller's Office, were involved in this agreement, as well as Keith Loomis from the District Attorney's Office. And I want to thank those folks, and I may ask if they would like to chime in on anything that I miss. Essentially, we have an interlocal agreement with the rail right now, with the Railway Commission, to perform their bookkeeping, their auditing, and their accounting systems and their budget preparations. We have the expertise and the background in that, and with some of the experiences that the V&T Railway had in the past prior to their existing board, they reached out to us and asked for the service because they really would like to keep good books and be able to focus their attention on the success of the railway and the railroad. Essentially, what the amendments we have here are for a staff person in the comptroller's office to be paid that would be used for the purpose of the railway, and all of the hours that that person's used in the railway will be paid for by the railway up to 2 years. And then at that
point 50% of the person in the comptroller's office, the administrative assistant too, to be specific, will be paid for by railway regardless of accounting of hours. Now, I'd like to ask if there's anyone else on our group that worked on this would like to elaborate on. And if not, Mr. Chairman, that's the essence of all of this. I'm happy to answer any questions.
Okay, I'll go to Commissioner Carmona. Do you have any questions?
I do not, Chairman.
Thank you, Jake. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
Was there a fiscal impact amount attributed to this?
There is, Commissioner Gilman. Is the existing contracts is that we provide $125,000 for track maintenance that is done. That number is increased to $250,000. Thank you for bringing that up.
So it went from $125,000 to $250,000.
Correct, and that's for track maintenance.
Is that inclusive, Austin? Is that inclusive to the sharing of the administrator in the comptroller's office too?
I'd like to ask Ms. McCain or Ms. Stevens if you'd like to speak to that. Is the contract the way it reads is the 250s for operations and for maintenance of the track in the train?
I believe that the 250 is funds that we give them for track maintenance. They will in turn pay us for administrative services, which when it is 50% of the admin two salary, it would account to about $38,000 a year. I do believe that we are beginning with the current situation that we will start keeping track of hours and they will pay by the hour for the time being until things clean up.
Very good. Thank you, Jennifer. Commissioner Gilman, does that answer your questions?
I believe so. So our commitment here is $250,000 a year, which focused on track maintenance. Is that correct?
Well, it's, I don't know if it's our commitment, but that'll come out of the VNT sales tax collection, the quarter cent sales tax there. So it's not an impact on our general budget at all.
I see.
And if you'd like, Commissioner Gilman, I'll read that whole section specifically so you can see. In 2010, the Commission in Story County agreed that if Story County voters approved the ballot measure, that the Commission, which is the VNT, not our Commission, would refund the Story County on a monthly basis sales tax that are collected by the Commission under any renewed or extended sales tax ordinance for the entire length of time that such quarter of 1% sales tax are approved by Story County. Collector. That obligation continues, and here it goes. Story County will annually attribute, it was $125,000, now it's $250,000, from proceeds of the tax in the VNT Railway Fund for the operation and maintenance of the railroad within Story County. These funds are subject to being utilized, actually, by the VNT. They don't actually utilize all those funds, then that would be adjusted.
Are you good with that, Commissioner Gilman?
Yeah, I believe so. I would ask you, you've been involved with this Railroad Commission for many years, and are you seeing this as a positive for the county?
Commissioner, I think I'm being asked that question, or do you want me to respond, Mr. Chairman?
I'm not sure who Commissioner Gilman was talking to.
Actually, I was pointing the question at you.
Okay. Yeah, as a matter of fact, Commissioner Gilman, I spent 7 years on the railroad foundation before they had laid track. I was an appointee by then Commissioner Henry Bland to that commission. So in any event, yeah, these are the funds that they're asking in return for maintenance on the track are funds that were collected specifically on the sales tax for the rail projects. And so under the MOU that Story County has with the Railroad Commission is that when they have a shortfall, that they can go and ask Story County for some of those funds for maintenance and operational costs if there's a shortfall. And there's definitely going to be a shortfall because there's a good possibility that, the railroad won't even operate this year because of the situation that we're in with this COVID-19. Like I said in the beginning, this has a zero impact on our general budget or any of the county's budget, in any event. We are simply a placeholder for those tax revenues, to turn around and go to, rail use.
Thank you for that clarity. I understand.
Okay.
And Commissioner Carmona, if I may, Mr. Chairman.
Go right ahead.
I think this agreement is beneficial to the parties. If we remember the BNC Railway Commission before it was reorganized, had some challenges, and that was both in their structure and operations, but as well as their bookkeeping and finances. It was determined that the county really has the expertise and the skills and folks to be able to manage these properly, be able to ensure that they're audited and the monies are going where they're supposed to be going, and the BNC Railway reached out to us for that reason. They want to run a stellar train and a stellar set of books, and they provided this. It does cost the county nothing, as our staff time is reimbursed through this agreement. It was done right now on an hourly basis because, as Mr. Chairman McBride alluded to, with COVID-19 and some adjustments because of that. But afterward, then, as the train will return to normal operations, this contract will default to a 50-50, which is estimated to be the amount of time that an admin 2 in the comptroller's office will be spending on this contract.
Awesome. Thanks for bringing that up, because I want to bring it back to that. We have a very professional staff running the railroad, and by utilizing the comptroller's office with staffing in there with the new Tyler accounting system, It's gonna make it a lot smoother for the Railroad Commission to go ahead and track their revenue and expenses as well. So this is a win-win for both of us, I think. So thank you for that. At this time, I'll go ahead and open it up for public comment. Anyone in the audience like to speak on this item? Commissioner Carmona, can I get you to entertain a motion to approve these amendments?
Yes, Chairman. In accordance with the recommendation by staff, I, Jay Carmona, motion to approve the amendments to the interlocal agreement between Story County and the Nevada Commission for the reconstruction of the BNC Railway regarding fund creation and management, budgeting, accounting, processing, and related staffing practices and responsibilities to manage funds of the railway by Story County and other properly related matters. I'll second that motion.
Very good. I have a motion and a second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All righty. Brings it up to item number 20. This is discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 Story County final budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. Which brings us to item number 21, where now we will recess as the Story County Board of County Commissioners and convene as the Story County Fire Protection District Board, bringing us to item number 22, discussion for possible action, review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 474 Fire District final budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. So, Ms. McCain.
Mr. Chairman, the item 20 is possible action item.
Oh, I'm sorry. Yeah, I skipped right over that, just thinking we were going right down the line. Thank you, Mr. Loomis. So anyway, I'm going to bring us back to item 20. Discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 Story County final budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. Do we have any public comment regarding this item?
This is Jennifer McCain, Interim Comptroller. Chairman, would you like me to go over the changes from the tentative to the final?
Do you want to do that now, or do you want to go on each item as we get to the final?
It's set up. I believe item 20 is the Story County.
Okay. Budget. Go right ahead, Ms. McCain.
I just want to reiterate that as we discussed at the last commissioner meeting, that there are no major changes due to the COVID-19 situation that we're going through. The decision was made that we would keep the budget as is with a few minor changes that have come about so that when things do level out, the county would be able to resume business as usual without any hiccups. To ensure that funding is limited while we are in this situation, we have implemented a new process of department heads needing to get approval before spending $1,000. We feel that that would help bring overspending and keep everyone in a responsible, essential purchase. With that being said, a few of our major changes are the health insurance for all funds and departments that have wages. We're budgeted at 12% for the entire health insurance package, which includes medical, dental, vision, and life. At the end of the day, when we got our final numbers, the overall increase was 6.5%. It was only the medical insurance that was increased 12%. So we actually had some savings there in each department. Specific department adjustments, the park and pool took over the ballpark meter as was discussed in the MOU with the school district item. This will increase the park and pool's utilities by about $7,000. That could possibly go up and down. We feel that with our expert staff that we have taking care of the field, that the water usage will probably go down. For the service department, which is included in Public Works has employees that are shared between departments, and we separate their hours by percentage across the Public Works department. We did find an error on the payroll spreadsheet where an employee's percentage was not calculated correctly across, so we will be correcting this and making a reduction in service wages and benefits of approximately $26,800. For the Sheriff's Department, as mentioned earlier in this meeting, we have a new contract with the Sheriff Union employees, and these changes have been implemented in the payroll wages and benefits for the Sheriff's Department, amounting to $118,000, and we also found an error in the payroll calculation sheets, which changed their numbers to $125,000. This is a total correction and adjustment in the sheriff's budget of $243,000. The administration department holds all the general transfers to other governmental funds and to help Piper's Opera House with their operational expenses, we have chosen to up the transfer from $80,000 to $109,000. Community relations, we had a couple of requests from Commissioner Gilman, which will change the budget from what you have before you. We are upgrading a few items. He would like to add $25,000 to the budget to do some well-needed maintenance on the Lockwood Senior Center building. The Lockwood Senior Center also has come to a need of a new vehicle, and we will be adding $35,000 to that budget. As well, there is an issue with some trash service cost to low-income seniors, and Commissioner Gilman would like us to add a line item of $20,000 that could possibly offer grants to these seniors that might be in need to have their trash service collection. These total an additional $80,000 to the community relations supplies and service budget.
With all of McCain, when you're ready, you did a great job. I would be happy to kind of explain the waste management trash stuff. It's a little bit complicated and specialized, so when you're ready, I'd be happy to clarify that. But thank you for covering it.
I am at a great stopping point if you want to cover it while we're there.
I'd be happy to. Thank you. Mr. Chairman, you're all right?
Yeah, let's go right ahead, Austin.
All All right, thank you. We have a new franchise agreement as we're aware with Waste Management across the county. Unfortunately, the Canyon GID also has a Waste Management trash pickup franchise. There's a little bit of static going on between these two legal documents on how does the county provide services in Lockwood when they already have their agreement in place. Waste Management has suggested that we ask the GID to reopen their agreement. I'm not really in support of that. The folks down in Lockwood don't want to do that, and I don't think they should have to. And I don't think anybody on our team does either. So what we're going to probably do here is we want to provide senior discounts and senior low-income discounts to trash service in Lockwood. It's a little bit challenging because they provide all of their payment into a pool, and then it goes to the GID directly, and they just distribute it out the cost throughout the entire community. So it isn't like somebody can get their bill reduced per se. So we think one idea might work, as Chairman McBride came up with the idea, what if we just purchase vouchers? Well, just here's your free dump days, everybody, good. And then in addition to whatever your normal discount would be as a senior, we'll give you the equivalent in free dump vouchers, and then we'll just invoice and voucher off to Waste Management so they don't come out behind, and the county will just pay for it. Another option is maybe, and I have to work with the senior services, so I don't want to paint Stacy into a corner that may or may not be possible, but we're going to have a conversation about what equivalent number of meals or other services might we provide at the Lockwood Senior Center if you are going to get a $15 discount. Maybe that equates to three or four meals, whatever it might be at the senior center, or possibly a check. The check has some accounting problems, tax implications, and we want to try to avoid that. But I'm pretty confident we're going to be able to work out an equivalent discount for seniors and senior low-income people in the Lockwood, including Rainbow Bend and the LCC, that will be equivalent to the rest of the county benefit. And we will accomplish that, and a lot of work's being put into it. Thank you, Jennifer, and thank you, Chairman.
Very good. Great. Thanks, Austin.
Thank you, Austin. With all of the corrections and adjustments that I have just discussed for the general fund, it will increase the general fund expenses by $200,000, and it will reduce the tentative ending fund balance by 2%. Other Story County funds, we have the capital project fund, which the revenue has significantly increased. This is due to a transfer from the USDA fund for the Gold Hill plant and the two water projects, the 5 mile line and the tanks. This is $5.2 million. This will also affect the expenses for the capital projects fund in the amount of $3.6 million. The difference here is reflected on part of the work for the 5 mile line has mostly been paid for. Other projects listed for ongoing items are the radio project, which has been headed up by Dave Ballard at $1.5 million to be expensed in the next fiscal year. Smaller projects include structural items at the B&T Depot and graveling the parking lot at the B&T Depot, the Virginia City Highlands Community Center, and some historic stairs on Taylor between C and B. We have moved the Justice Court project, hopefully, to the infrastructure fund. We are waiting on confirmation from the DA's office to make sure that this is possible, but we have budgeted it there. In addition to the above items, we are adjusting the budget to include paving the parking lot at the Lockwood Senior Center as requested by Commissioner Gilman, with an estimated cost for this project of $35,000. I would also like to point out that under the capital projects section, we have included the 2020-2021 fiscal year CIP, which lays out the plans for all the capital items across all funds. We are working on future years of the CIP, as everyone knows, and with the county manager, Austin Osborne, we plan on having a separate agenda item at a later date. Did you want to comment on the capital projects, Austin?
That would be great, Mr. Chairman, if you're all right with it.
Yeah, first of all, I'm going to ask Jennifer, did you repeat the cost for paving the Lockwood parking lot? We had an audio glitch.
The estimated cost of this project is $35,000.
Very good. Thank you. Go ahead, Mr. Osborne.
All right. Thank you both. And thank you, Ms. McCain, for not only your summary here, but working with us in developing our CIP. It has now been transformed from a Word document with lots of lists of things and estimates to an actual Excel document with calculation in it that Jen put together that really is now starting to lock all of those projects into years and individual amounts. And Jennifer's been wonderful in knowing how where to take the money from and where to put it to make sure that these are accountable properly. Part of the CIP will also include, we want to make sure that folks in the community know, Cartwright Road in the Highlands is in the budget for $130,000. Public Works Director assured me that that was in there for shoulder maintenance. I think it's going to be Cape Seal or something equivalent to that. Lowestown Road, $35,000 for the patchwork that we see already beginning. Jason's waiting for asphalt patch plans to open on that. And then the Virginia City Highlands Community Center, which will include the existing area where they provide their HOA meetings, but the area between that and the building next to it will be enclosed and will contain a kitchen and a bathroom, some lockers, and they'll have their own space where folks out there, you know, have a fully self-contained community center. And then all of the fire truck apparatus will be relocated to a separate building on the other side of the fire campus and out of the way of that senior center. So I think those are it. We're still working with the DA's office to figure out a maintenance agreement or other type of easement for Cartwright Road. Once that's done, then Jason can go ahead and begin his road improvement project on that. And that's where we are so far. Thank you, Ms. McCain. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All right, great. Thank you, Austin.
Would you like me to continue?
Go right ahead, Jennifer.
Okay. The infrastructure fund is a fund that we have to establish a specific ordinance that will list out projects, which we are currently working with the DA's office. However, we have budgeted for the county's internet project, which has been led up by James Dean, the director of IT. And as mentioned, we have budgeted for the Justice Court complex to be in this fund. Both of these projects will create an ending fund balance to the infrastructure fund of $821,000. The USDA fund has had some major changes. According to Mike Nevin, he anticipates the Gold Hill sewer plants and the water tanks to be completed during the 2020-2021 fiscal year. This means that USDA will fund these bonds. This revenue will be deposited into the USDA fund and dispersed to the capital projects funds where the expenses have been processed. The revenue will be $5.2 million. With that revenue comes time for Story County to begin paying back these loans, and that is reflected in this budget. Laura Mather has sent many emails back and forth with Cheryl at USDA, and we have finally received an estimated amortization schedule with the payments estimated beginning February 2021 with a total principal and interest of approximately $170,000 for next fiscal year. These changes will keep the ending fund balance at this fund at $27,000. The road department has had some cleanup between the budget and the CIP. The final budget reflects what is in the CIP and includes road enhancements in Mark Twain, Virginia City Highlands, and the Tri-Area. These changes from the tentative include $40,000 for the Mark Twain drainage project and $85,000 for the two projects that County Manager Austin Osborne commented on, Cartwright and Lowestown. And $50,000 for a 6-mile drainage project. Other additions to the road department is the retiree insurance, which was not budgeted for in the tentative. This adds $42,000 to the benefit segment of their budget. These changes will change the ending fund balance and bring it to $2,014. $214,000, excuse me. The Justice Court Fund has strict NRS parameters on how the judge can spend this money. Judge Harrington is anticipating using most all of this fund for her move to the new Justice Center. The VC Rail Project Fund has had an increase of revenue of $7,000 and an increase in expenses of $75,000. This came to light due to an update from the administrative office. Grants was one of the funds that needed some work at the tentative budget, and I have worked closely with Laura. She anticipates grants in the amount of $75,000, which will reflect the expenses in the same amount. This brings us to the VCTC and Pipers, which are the hardest hit by the COVID pandemic. Denny and his team have worked hard to revamp their budget. He has dropped his revenues by approximately 43% and his expenses by 27%. This difference will allow him to continue to plan for future events, even though the attendance might be low. This holds the positive attitude that we will be able to begin business as normal sooner than later. One change that is not reflected in the budget that you have in front of you, Denny has decided to not fill a part-time position. Eliminating this position will reduce his wages by $18,000 and his benefits by $43,000. I am at the point asking the commissioners to please accept the Story County budget with the low adjustments and corrections, which included the community relations additions of $80,000, the capital project addition of $35,000, and the reduction in the VCTC budget of $22,300 for wages and benefits. Anybody have questions?
Start with Commissioner Carmona. Do you have questions for Jennifer?
No, but I do appreciate the efforts you and your department. I know County Manager Osborne's been working hard on this, so you know, I'm up to speed and I'm comfortable with where it's at.
Very good, Mr. Gilman. Do you have any questions?
No questions. No. Great job. Thank you.
Okay, so at this time, I'm going to go to the audience and say that we have public comment out there. And if you do have public comment, please go ahead and identify yourself for the record, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. So we're open for public comment from the audience. Okay, with that said, I would like to go ahead and give my thanks to the whole team who worked on this with Vanessa and Jennifer, Austin, Jen, everybody, and all department heads and elected officials. You've done a terrific job of putting this budget together. It always takes several months to do it. I'd like to remind the taxpayers that although we are going to submit a budget, and we've put a lot of things in these budget, if the revenue falls short, there are some capital improvement projects that will be delayed, and there could be things like hiring freezes and no promotions and things like that, because we are going to be fiscally responsible because we don't really know what's in store for us going forward. If this if the governor continues to keep businesses shut down and we have lack of business license renewals or taxes coming into the county, we're going to have to be very diligent and vigilant on we handle this. We don't anticipate a financial crisis, but it could turn out to be that. But we're going to stay on top of it because we don't want to get caught short. So with that said, if I can get a motion, Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve this budget.
Yes, Chairman. I, Jay Carmona, approve the filing of the 2020-2021 Story County final budget to the Department of Taxation.
I'll second your motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Very good. Okay, at this time we're going to recess as the Story County Board of Commissioners and convene as the Story County Fire Protection District. Bringing us up to item 22, review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 474 Fire District final budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. Right. Ms. McCain.
Thank you, Chairman. Jennifer McCain, Interim Comptroller, once again. As we discussed last commission meeting, we have realized that the current COVID situation can change any time. That's why it is agreed that the fire district will maintain the original budget with a few changes. We have implemented the same processes with the $1,000 spending cap and intend to watch this budget as well as all the other budgets very closely each month. The current changes include some revenue updated figures that were missed in the original tentative budget for ambulance subscriptions, accident recovery, and ground EN transport. These additional revenues total $133,000. Unfortunately, on the summary sheet that you were given, these transfers were not deducted from the overall revenues, which represent an unrealistic ending fund balance. The actual ending fund balance for the fire general fund is estimated at $151,000. The detail sheets that you were given are correct. The only expense adjustment in the fire budget are within the benefits category, and this is related to the retiree insurance that was added in the amount of $36,800. And again, the health insurance was reduced $21,700 due to the entire package being budgeted at $12,000 when the actual increase was closer to 7%. Excuse me, increase of 12% and the actual increase was 7%. There were no changes to the emergency fund or the mutual fund. The capital projects fund was reduced by $50,000 with the fire chief deciding to hold off on refabricating an older ladder truck. And those are all the changes to that budget.
Okay. Great. Thank you, Jennifer. Chief Nevin, did you want to weigh in on your budget?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. For the record, Jeff Nevin, I don't have anything to add. We've worked with Jennifer, and she's been a great asset in all of this, so I appreciate the help and the entire team with this budget for the upcoming year.
Very good. Thanks, Chief. Commissioner Carmona, do you have questions regarding the fire budget?
I do not, Chairman.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions?
I do not.
Very good. We open it up to the audience. Do we have any public comment? If so, please go ahead and identify yourself for the record. Okay. With that said, if I can go ahead and I'll call, ask Commissioner Carmona for a motion to approve.
I, Jay Carmona, approve the filing of the 2020-2021 474 Fire District final budget to the Department of Taxation.
I have a motion. Do I have a second?
Second.
It's been moved in second. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. Motion carries. Okay, this time we're going to recess as the Story County Fire Protection District and convene as the Story County Water Sewer Board. Bringing us to item number 24. This is discussion for possible action. Review and possible approval of the 2020-2021 Water Sewer Final Budget for submission to the Department of Taxation. Ms. McCain.
Jennifer McCain, Interim Comptroller, again for the record. Again, there is little change to the water and sewer budgets, but from the tentative to the final. This is due to these two enterprise funds need to maintain current operations. With that, there are no revenue changes for the water and sewer. The water department, we anticipate the water tank project being completed mid-year, which would make it necessary to budget for the principal and interest payments on the USDA loans. These payments are anticipated to begin February 2021, with a total of $40,374 being transferred to the USDA fund for the processing of these payments.
The water department also has an adjustment for retiree insurance in the amount of $27,700. As well, their health insurance was budgeted as a total package for a 12% increase when the actual total package was came down to approximately a 7% increase. The sewer department, projecting that the Gold Hill sewer project will be completed mid-year, budgeting the principal and interest payments to USDA loans is necessary. This will also begin approximately February 2021 with a total of $4,356 being transferred into the USDA fund for the processing of these payments. The sewer adjustment for the retiree insurance is $7,500, and again, their health insurance was reduced due to the same 12% across the board budgeting amount with a 7% actual total. In reviewing the health insurance, we did find an error. Again, public works employees are spread across several departments, and those percentages are calculated for their wages and their benefits. Unfortunately, one employee's health insurance was overstated by $19,000. We have made this change, which will drop their health insurance line item from $41,844 to a new health insurance line item of $22,558,000. We ask that the commissioners approve this budget with that correction.
Very good.
I'd like to make one comment that's, I don't know if it's appropriate to say here, but it stretches across this budget and the other budgets, that we did reassess all the budgets with every department and fund and ask each department head to process 3% and 10% reductions. We have kept those reductions as a supplemental budget and will be referring to all of those as time goes on, as long as we are in this current situation. So I just wanted everybody to know that we are taking more steps to ensure that we are keeping in line with essential spending only.
Thank you for that. That's a very prudent, you know, process to go for. Austin, were you going to mention something there? Did I hear you chime in?
I'm just going to reinforce what Jennifer said. She's absolutely right. She's got all of our departments doing exactly as she said, with a 3 to 5% budget cut, even though the budget says we have the money, doesn't mean we're going to spend it. A letter is going out to department heads today or tomorrow. Our budget core team is reviewing the letter, make sure we're all on board with it. Essentially, it's going to say anything over $1,000 has to be approved by Jennifer. Anything over $2,500, both Jennifer and myself, there's going to be a freeze on all new hiring except for certain positions like critical firefighters, line staff, or replacement of vacant positions that are critical. A freeze on capital project spending except for those projects that are already up and running, like the Virginia City Highlands Community Center. That would not be capped. There is a couple projects here in Virginia City that might be frozen. And then just to let them know that it will not affect Merit's current collective bargaining agreements. There will not be layoffs, nothing like that. But as Jennifer said, this letter will help support her in that decision to slow down the spending and let that go into the 2021 fiscal year, and have what Jennifer describes right next to her as a supplementary budget with the lower numbers to make sure we're going to be okay next year. Do you have anything you want to add to that, Jennifer? I think it lines right up with what you have planned in your office. Thank you.
That exactly does. Thank you for all that, Austin.
Okay, very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions regarding the water sewer budget?
Doesn't pertain to the budget per se, but do you know when there will be the fee increase for the water and sewer customers in town, when that's going to take effect, and about how much that's going to be, that increase?
Jason?
That increase is between 2 and 3%, depending on the water or the sewer, and it's my understanding that those rate increases go into effect at the beginning of the fiscal year.
Thank you.
All right. Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions regarding this budget item?
No, sir.
Okay, thank you. We'll go ahead and we'll open up to public comment. Anyone in the audience wish to speak on the water sewer budget? Hearing enough. Commissioner Carmona, would you entertain a motion to approve this budget item?
Yep. Jay Carmona, approve the filing of the 2021 water sewer final budget to the Department of Taxation.
I'll second the motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. Okay. That brings us to item number 25, where we're going to recess as the Story County Water and Sewer Board and reconvene as the Story County Board of County Commissioners. And this is going to bring us up to, or back to, excuse me, item number 7. This is discussion only. This is no action or public comments. These are committee and staff reports.
Mr. Chairman?
Yes.
People, I think we skipped over item 26.
You're right. We were going to hear this after 26. Thank you, Mr. Loomis, keeping me on my toes. So item number 26, this is discussion for possible action. This is the approval of business license second readings. Mr. Osborne?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Give me one moment here. The Community Development Department recommends approval of items A, B, C, and D. That would be Dispatch Health, Global Industrial Systems, Genova Ventures, and Mitchell Labs.
Very good. Thank you. Is there any public comment regarding this item? Commissioner Carmona, if you'd entertain a motion to approve.
Aye. Jay Carmona, move to approve business license second readings A through D.
I'll second that motion.
It's been moved and seconded. All those in favor signify by saying aye.
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 Aye. Motion carries unanimously. All right, now we're going to move on to item number 7, discussion only. We'll take no action. No public comment. These are committee and staff reports. We'll start at the top here with the Sheriff's Office, Sheriff Antonoro.
I have nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Jerry. All right. Over at Public Works Operations, Mike Northam, are you on the line? Community Chess and Library, Eric Schoen?
Yes, thank you. Just a quick, I think, bit of good news. Hopefully this cheers everybody as much as it does me and our staff. We have opened our Early Childhood Education Center effective yesterday. We are keeping enrollment at half, but all of the little ones and their parents are excited to, again, have some sense of maybe what normal might look like once again when we're finally over for this. So it was a day of, I think, celebration, not without a little bit of trepidation too, because no one has any guarantees about anything, but we are excited to be at this step, and it begins for us a process of slowly reopening the rest of our programs. So the week of June 1st, Nevada Health Center should be reopening its clinic. We're looking to have our in-person days on Mondays, and in the week of June 8th, we will open our summer youth programs as well. It'll be lower enrollment instead of the usual 60. I think we will be looking at 30. We'll be putting additional protocol in place to limit any possible spread of COVID-19 amongst the participants. But the good news is we're finding our way forward. So I wanted to share that bit of good news with everybody. I think we will eventually prevail. It feels good.
Pretty good. Thank you, Eric. All right. Over at the, let's see here, County Assessor, Jana Seddon. Justice of the Peace, Eileen Harrington. The Recorder's Office, Marnie Hansen Martinez.
Nothing new to report today. Thank you, Jana.
Thank you, Marnie. V&T Railroad Commission General Manager, Elaine Spencer, are you on the line? Story County Senior Citizen Center, Stacey York.
Stacey York, for the record. I found out yesterday that I had received two grants that I wrote back in February. One is for the transportation program. And for the past couple of years, we've only received $10,000 from the state. They have awarded us over $51,000 this year. And that allows us to grow the transportation program down to Lockwood. And I also received a Hallmaker grant. And that one's for $25,000. That's house cleaning for seniors. I just received notice yesterday, so I don't have details, but those will be coming here in the near future.
That's terrific news. Thank you for that, Stacy.
Thank you.
Fellow commissioners, have any questions for Stacy? All right. Okay. We'll move along to the Lockwood Senior Center. Beth Kemp, are you on the line? Director of IT, James Dean. Director of Public Works, Jason Wierzbeski. I think I see you online. You might have to unmute your microphone. Labor Relations, Jeannie Green.
Nothing new to report. Thank you.
Thank you, Jeannie. Administrative Officer and HR Director, Jen Chapman.
Nothing today. Thank you.
Thanks, Jen. Director of Communications, Dave Ballard.
Good morning. Nothing really to report yet. I am going to have a meeting in a little while with Motorola to start working on the radio project, and I hope to have an update for you guys on the next meeting.
Very good.
Thank you.
Thank you, Dave. Director of Tourism, Denny Dotson.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman, Commissioners. No real update today other than I just fully expect to see everybody on Saturday around noon driving through town with their patriotic colors and their flag and the headlights on, paying tribute to our fallen soldiers. And we're looking forward to a nice cruise through town. So that's all for today.
Thank you, Denny. Community Relations and EOC, Laura Mather.
Mr. Chairman, Laura is on a conference call with the Quad County Emergency Operations Center in Mather while I'm sitting on this one. So she said she had nothing to add.
All right. Well, since you're on there, why don't you go ahead? If you have anything to report, Joe, go right ahead.
Sure. Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Commissioners, Joe Curtis for the record. For today, May 19th, 2020, a quick review is that the cases in the Quad County, Fort County area, Carson City has 19 active cases at the moment, but they have 49 recoveries from the total cases they've had. Douglas County only has 3 active ones, and they've had 22 recoveries over the long haul. And Lyon County has 18 active cases and 30 recoveries that they've had. So last week we had our first active case, and as of today that active case is a recovery. So we're back to our zero. Let's hold it there. Totally in the Quad County there's been 145 cases. And there's currently 40 of them that are active, and 102 have recovered. Unfortunately, there have been 3 deaths in Carson City on their cases. Testing overall, we did the testing a week or so ago for the non-symptomatic patients, people, and then we issued from the Fort County area 1,798 tests. And all of those came back negative. except for one. And that was, I believe, in Carson City. So we have no active cases, and like you say, our one positive case is recovered. The Emergency Operations Center for the Quad County that we have been dealing with for some time is in the process of closing and shifting it over to the Quad County Health and Human Services, which is Carson City Health and Human Services, actually. And they will be opening their own what's called a DOC, or a Department Operations Center. So all this stuff will be mostly virtual, they will have their own EOC, if you will. We maintain contact with EOCs and that virtual EOC operation 2 to 3 times a week, as well as a couple times a week we're on calls with the Quad County Health Consortium and Planning Operation. So it's every day we have some kind of a call with one of those. As we sit right now, all of the personal protective equipment resources that the state has provided to us over the last couple of months have been issued out, we have received an allotment of that over the hall. And now we are transitioning back into where we have to purchase our own protective equipment and so forth, which would be gowns, goggles, masks, face shields, gloves, and that sort of thing on our own with resources that we have identified for that. Jason Wisbecki has been a big help to us in locating resources where we can purchase many of these items. So we'll be having to purchase our own items from this point forward, should we need it. But we're in pretty good shape about the president for quite some time now.
He's on the call with the
we have hand sanitizers that we're looking at, a process of looking at an idea here, I guess you could say, or a plan where we're looking at putting hand sanitizers on C Street. Now, we looked at that to begin with. We could not find any place back 2 months ago. They were just not available. They're still basically not available any place. So what we're looking to do for hand sanitizers on C Street, the idea is that maybe we can have some dispenser devices made that can be manufactured here locally in town, actually. Then we have the small dispensers that we have, like we have at the courthouse and the other county buildings. So we put them on C Street, 3 to a block. So, like, for instance, between Taylor and Union, we have 3, like one little ways into the, from Taylor, and then one in the middle of the block, and then one in along about where the bucket is or so, but it would be on both sides of the street. So we'd be looking at maybe 18 for the 3-block period location there. We'd go from the Sheriff's Department and go down to Sutton Street and place them all along in those blocks. It's an idea at this point, and it's under discussion. We haven't completed that yet, but one of the things is that the water dispenser things are good. They're probably not, they're a good adjunct to dispensers of hand sanitizer. But we're proceeding forward and looking at that and pricing that out and deciding just exactly how we might be able to accomplish that. That about it for now, I guess I would say. If you have some questions on any portion of this, I certainly, you
want to entertain any particular questions? Let me go ahead and I'll go to Commissioner Carmona and see if he has any questions for you, Joe.
I do not at this time, Joe. Thank you.
Okay, thank you.
Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Joe?
Ben, it's just amazing to me that the Quad Counties we had, what I consider a pretty reasonable experience, and to have all of our counties still closed, to me, is just horrible, but one man's opinion.
But the good thing is, it's up to me because I'd have them open.
would I, Joe, right away.
Joe, I think the only question I have for you is I read in yesterday's Las Vegas Review-Journal that their medical facilities are going to start testing for antibodies down there. When they start something in our area, would you let us all know? I'm sure you will, but to bring us up to date, because I know a lot of people would like to be tested for antibody. A lot of people think that they already had this virus over the over the holidays and over winter.
Oh, absolutely, Mr. Chairman. I'll certainly do that. The other aspect is that is we're looking at some testing that will involve dealing with vulnerable population, which is kind of defined loosely as homeless and other sort of people that have some sort of vulnerability of one kind or another, maybe no insurance or something of that nature. And so we're working with some activities to be able to discuss or to operate that. Hopefully, you've not been able to hear Laura and my dad on the other conference call there too much. But when we get that done, when we get that set to do the vulnerable population, I'll get with you and you'll certainly be informed on that.
Very good. Thank you, Joe.
Thank you, sir.
I think our public works director has stepped back into the room. Jason Wierzbeski. Are you there, Jason? We might have a technical difficulty there. I think Dave Ballard wanted to weigh back in on something, too. So, Dave, are you there?
Yeah, I'm here. Thank you. Yeah, I just spoke with County Manager Hodborn. I thought I should bring this up. We are also in the process right now with this radio project. We are also looking at moving forward into relocating the dispatch center. I think many of you know that we're looking at moving into the old conference center, which is the Bank of America. Logistically, it's the best move for us. It's all there. It's very sound. There's very minimal work that we're going to have to do. The vault itself is going to be demoed a little bit in the inside and just kind of retrofitted and turned into a server room. And there's going to be a lot of work being done. There's going to be some electrical work being done in there and a little bit of modification, and that's going to be where all the new equipment is going to go, and that's going to be the 911 dispatch center. So that's moving forward right now. I'll probably have a little bit more information and a timeline on that here in the next couple of weeks. I'm, like everyone else, I'm having a problem getting people answering their phones to get some of this work done. COVID's killing everybody. So I had to dig around and find some companies to do some stuff. And it's slow moving right now. But basically, once I get one part moving, get the vault demoed out, everything else will start moving forward. Public Works is going to help me do a little bit of work. And basically, that's what we're looking at. So all the new equipment that we're looking at purchasing, which would be the phones, the radios, everything are going to be installed in there, so we don't have to do it twice. So it should be hopefully by August, mid-August, well, we should be up and running.
Very good. Thanks for that, Dave.
Thank you.
Before you go, maybe I'll ask it, Commissioner Carmona if you have any questions for Dave regarding the dispatch center.
Yeah, I just want to make sure when he said people are dying, you mean figuratively, right?
I don't remember saying that, but yeah, hopefully that's what I meant.
Yeah.
Commissioner Gilman, did you have any questions for Dave?
I have no questions. Thank you, Dave.
Very good. Okay, I'll go back to Jason again, see if he's got his microphone working.
Chairman McBride, he's having some muting difficulty. I can cover him during mine if you want to wait.
Okay, that's fine. Okay, let's go over to all things that are water. Mike Nevin, are you on the line? All right, County Fire Marshal and Community Development Director Martin Azevedo.
Good morning, Mr. Chairman. I have nothing to report this week.
Sorry to hear that. Thank you, Martin. Over at the Planning Department, Kathy Canfield. Ben Renault, are you on? All right, we'll go back up to the Comptroller's Office. Jennifer McCain.
wanted to thank everybody for their cooperation in the budget. As everybody knows, the budget is a year-long affair with the heavy lifting happening between February all the way through June 1st when we turn it in finally to taxation. Our immediate team with Austin Osborne and Vanessa Stevens, Jen Chapman, Jesse Fay, I couldn't have done any of this without you and the cooperation of each department head answering numerous questions over and over. I appreciate all your help. And thank you for a successful budget season.
Thank you, Jennifer. Chief Nevin?
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Nothing of significance to report and nothing that Joe hasn't already covered, so thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Jeff. Chief Deputy District Attorney Keith Loomis.
Nothing to report today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Keith. District Attorney Ann Langer.
Nothing today, Mr. Chairman. Thank you.
Thank you, Ann. Have I missed any other staffers on there? Okay, I thought I had everything covered there. All right, thank you. County Manager, Austin Osborne.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman. Kathy Canfield, our senior planner, she had some technical difficulties, so she just came on over. She does have something very important she'd like to bring up, and some she just put an amazing amount of work on. Go for it.
So the county just completed our CRS audit with FEMA, and we retained our community rating of a class 8, which means for the National Flood Insurance Program, we still maintain a 10% discount for the residents that have flood insurance within the county. We have an audit every 5 years. So, and the criteria is constantly changing on how to keep these points and keep these ratings. So they'll probably be set coming forward to you in the future. So, that's all.
So on a scale of 1 to 10, is 8 high?
No. 1 is the best.
Okay.
I don't think there's any place where anybody has gotten a 1 in the whole country. There are, I think, a couple of 2s, one of them being Roseville, California has some. There's a lot of work that goes into obtaining all these programs that you have to implement. Story County really isn't set up for a lot of what they have to gain points and such for that. But we're really happy with the 8 that we received.
In the beginning, when we're at an 8, you start getting a lot of regulatory measures, too.
A lot of regulatory, a lot of public works programs, a lot of parks and detention basins, and a bunch more costly items also.
Very good. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Kathy?
I do not. But I would like to know, are they going to be able to pass that information on to the Lockwood community? I think they're the only ones that deal with flood insurance. Maybe helpful to them.
We can definitely. The discount is done through their insurance companies, and so they shouldn't really see a change right now because we retain what we already have. Definitely we can let them know that we retain what they are already having. We are anticipating that insurance rates are going to change. FEMA has stated that they're looking at a different way of calculating how they come up with their insurance rates. It right now it's looked at as like a whole for the communities or the counties, and they're going in back into reevaluating each individual parcel. So there's the potential that changes might occur in the future, but for right now, I'm not sure where that program is because of what's been happening, how caught up is on the market. So.
Okay. Commissioner Gilman, did you have any questions for Kathy?
Thank you, Kathy, very much.
Okay. Very good. Thank you, Kathy. All right. I'm going to go back and try Jason one more time, see if Jason's got online.
Jason's still having some issues. He relayed to me what he would like to say. So
okay. Why don't you go ahead with that, Austin, and give Jason's report.
Thank you, Mr.
Okay, and I just want to reiterate what Kathy said. If you know what the ISO rating is for fire, in all of the work that goes into trying to get that rating, it's equivalent to what Kathy's doing on the flood. It's just an incredible amount of everything. So as far as Jason talked about, he just wants to let you know that he's 80% finished with road shoulder mowing throughout the county. He is using his new John Deere tractor with articulated boom and all kinds of these exciting attachments. So also the asphalt batch plants are either open or near open because of springtime. So that means that you will see road crews throughout the county. I do get a lot of comments on Cartwright, or not Cartwright, Lostown. That is what's been holding that up, is the asphalt batch plant. So that will be up and running. And the first one that is almost done, if not, is Silver Street here in town. That was a some work that needed to be done for some time. For the items that I have, I'll just go over a couple here. I just want to reiterate once again, this is my first budget season. Working with Jennifer in her first budget season. Both of us were involved in budgets before, but not quite in the hot seat like this year. And it's just been a wonderful experience working with Jennifer and Vanessa in their budget group. Jennifer just took this thing running without a doubt and was an amazing leader throughout this entire process. And I cannot tell you how much I appreciate that. Ken and GID is having their board meeting tonight. I'm going to attend that by Zoom, and I'm just going to give them an update about what we talked about today with the waste management senior discount items, as well as a couple other public items of their importance. I want to let people know in the community that are asking waste management right now, they're still under their COVID-19 restrictions, so the transfer station up here in Virginia City, you can only bring in 3 bags or equivalent of garbage. You can still bring in recycling at a pretty much unlimited number, but there's no cost. They don't want to touch money or anything. But they are accepting free dump vouchers, so anybody comes down with their free dump vouchers with the equivalent amount of garbage that's allowed under normal free dump day, they are letting people come in for that purpose. The green waste management garbage cans on C Street are temporary until the COVID-19 matter is over with. So those folks at the waste management don't have to reach into those barrels and pull out garbage and get COVID-19 and those sorts of things on them. I do want to mention here, and very briefly, in the budget and working with Jen McCain or Jen Chapman, is we're looking at between $15,000 and $20,000. We're still, Jen really is working and negotiating with the contractual agreements with firms to manage public records requests. The system that she describes is essentially like a portal you would go into. It would consolidate and reorganize those specific requests to the departments, and then someone like Jen would be able to manage those departments, keep everything consolidated, and then make sure we maintain compliance with NRS. I just want to thank Jen for the hard work that she's done in keeping us compliant with public records requests. We get lots of them. Jen has done an absolutely amazing job in this, and not only responding to them, but creating a sustainable program that will happen in the foreseeable future to keep ourselves solid there. And that's all I have. Thank you, Mr. Chairman.
All righty. Commissioner Carmona, do you have any questions for Austin?
I don't, but I appreciate the update.
Very good. Commissioner Gilman, do you have any questions for Austin? Okay, very good. And Austin, maybe in today's e-blast, since the batch plants are open, maybe we can let the residents know to be on the lookout for, since it's going to be orange cone season, to look out for equipment and flagmen in that, because they're going to be in all kinds of neighborhoods doing repair work. So, all right. Last on my list is County Clerk Vanessa Stevens.
Good afternoon, Vanessa Stevens. I just have 2 quick updates. Just a reminder to folks to get those ballots in the mail. We've got about 15% return voted. And secondly, unfortunately, we do not have an update of when the DMV is going to open. We're getting a lot of calls each day. They haven't given us any tentative dates, and that is a state agency, so we kind of have to wait for that. So if anybody has any questions, please don't hesitate to contact the office. Thank you.
All right. That concludes committee and staff reports. It'll bring us on to item number 8. And these are board comments. And I'll go down and I'll start with Commissioner Gilman. Do you have board comments today, sir?
I do. Just an observation, Marshall. I am a relatively newcomer to Story County. I've been here for over 20 years. And it's been a very, very exciting experience. But I'll tell you, I've watched 20 years worth of budgets. And I believe the budget that our folks put together this year is probably the most professional, visionary, well thought out budget that I've ever seen yet. Comment to all the heads of all the departments and line item budgeting and fiscal responsibility and watching our bottom lines. And one of the things that strikes me, and this is just my opinion, but I think that Story County in the state of Nevada is in better fiscal shape today than any other county in the state. Because of the leadership that we've had savings, we've been frugal, we haven't over-employed. It's just a credit to everybody. And then for Jennifer to sit down with Austin and Jesse and all the folks to put this budget together, it's clean, it's readable, and a lot of thought has gone into it. So we owe everybody in our county that are operating in those departments a great, great amount of kudos for success. I thank them immensely. I love to think we've found it now.
Thank you, Commissioner Kelman. Commissioner Carmona.
Well, again, I want to echo what Lance said. You know, appreciate all the department heads and the comptroller's office for dialing this stuff in, but I would like to make a request that maybe we could budget a soundproof wall for Joe and Laura, maybe before the end of the year. That'd be awesome. That's all I got.
Great idea.
Thank you, Commissioner Carmona. Yes, the budget team did a terrific job, and I mean, and department heads and elected officials. I mean, everybody has to, you know, pull this together, and they've done a terrific job, and we're prepared to go forward with this budget, and we're gonna keep run a tight ship. I'm gonna echo Commissioner Gilman about the shutdown of the economy in Nevada. For those of you who have a concern, I think you should either write or call the governor's office and ask him to be maybe a little bit more visible. I mean, when he did this press conference last Friday, we hadn't seen the guy in 15 days. And it's like everybody's, you know, chomping at the bit to get their doors open and get business operating. There's a lot of people who are having real difficult financial times now, and we're going to see just a terrible amount of bankruptcies and foreclosures again. And this isn't supposed to be a financial crisis. It's supposed to be a medical crisis, but it's going to turn into a financial crisis. Those of you that follow the media, Arizona and California casinos are opening. And Nevada is still at a standstill. I mean, whether you like Southern Nevada or not, Las Vegas generates, I think, about 80% of the operating taxation that runs this whole state. So if Las Vegas isn't operating, if the strip isn't full of gamblers down there, it's going to affect the whole state. So if anybody has an inkling, I suggest you go ahead and give the governor a call or write him a letter. You can send him an email and encourage him to let's start opening the state back up again. So with that said, that concludes my comments, and that'll bring us over to item number 27. This is public comment, and those of you that wish to make public comment, please identify yourself for the record, and please limit your comments to 3 minutes. So who do we have who would like to make public comment? Going once, going twice. We'll see everybody in 2 weeks. This meeting's adjourned.